Yeah. All right. I'll be corrected by my pastor. I will be corrected.
That's my great
story. Yeah. The only, if you've ever been down to Dallas, Texas, okay, and if you've ever gone to the AT&T Stadium, okay, thank you, Matthew. Yeah. There, and this. Matthew, you're, okay. Anyway, the football stadium, okay, here we go. Come on back if you need more. Okay, yeah. The football stadium was built down, AT&T Stadium for the Dallas Cowboys, okay, was built to a tune of $1.2 billion. That was up until the San Francisco 49ers built their new stadium. The Dallas Stadium was the most expensive one on the market, okay? And this morning when I used the correlation that the temple in Jerusalem by today's standards would be, it would take $5 billion to build, okay? Is quite a grandioso building. But your pastor, former pastor, Pastor Waterstrat, said, John, it would be much more to build than $5 billion. So I stand corrected. But I can't, I stand corrected by my senior pastor. Well, I can begin. My name is Pastor John Stern. And I came in touch with your pastor 35 years ago, Pastor Waterstrat, when he served the congregation over in Michigan. I also served our Michigan congregation two places over in Michigan for 18 years. And then from Michigan, 15 years ago, I was called to serve Mount Calvary in Flagstaff, Arizona. All right. And I served in Flagstaff for 12 years. So a parish pastor, privilege to be a parish pastor. It, without a doubt, is one of the greatest humbling blessings that the Lord has given to me, okay? To be able to think that he would use a guy like me to talk to other people about the wonderful Savior that I have been given and they have been given. But 3 years ago, I was called by our Conference of Presidents to represent our church and our church body in Arizona, California, and the South Central Districts. It's six states. And so I do get to go around and I get to talk to individuals. I get to speak with congregations and Bible classes about the work that we do together as brothers and sisters in Christ to gossip. Not about the Waterstrats, but to gossip the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we thank you for being part of this work. And as I look over the members of St. Mark's, there's a passage that comes to mind, and your pastors pray this oftentimes, okay? It's a prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippian Christians, okay? And so I wish I knew all of you by name, which I don't, and I probably never will on this side of eternity, okay? And that's okay, because the Lord knows you by name. You belong to him. But this is how I feel towards all of you. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with blank because of your blank in the gospel. Anybody want to fill in those two blanks? Not you, Pastor. I pray with what? Joy. Because of your partnership. We're partners in this work. And I'll bet you never realize that Wells and Starbucks have something in common. Besides coffee being the fourth Saturday, all right? Yeah, all right. You know what it is? If you work for Starbucks, you're never referred to as an employee. Right? If you work for Starbucks, you are a partner in the coffee business. As I look at you, you and I are partners in a far greater business, if you want to call it that, and that's the business of the gospel, and how privileged we are to be brothers and sisters. What we can't do individually, we can do together, and that is to take the good news of our salvation in and through Christ Jesus, and to share it with people right here in the Citrus Heights area, as well as to the ends of the earth, okay? So I guess that's, you know, you can talk to Pastor Waterstrat about me. after I leave. But that's where I come from, okay? So thank you for giving me the time to be here. I chose as my topic, bringing home the gold. The reason I chose this as well as the sermon text is because this summer the eyes of the world were focused on Rio de Janeiro and the Olympics, okay? And are you aware that there was a Wells girl that brought home a gold medal?
No.
Oh, you aren't aware of that. There was one, okay? And she grew up in the Appleton area, went to our area Lutheran High School, Fox Valley Lutheran, okay? And her grandfather was a pastor in the Wells. Some of her uncles are pastor in the Wells, and she was a tennis player. Bethany Manick Sands. Sands is her married name, okay? And she won the mixed doubles in gold with her partner. She had to beat Serena Williams and her partner, okay? So this young lady, who now makes Phoenix area her home, she brought home a gold medal. Somebody else also lives in Flagstaff in Phoenix that you may know from the Summer Olympics, okay? Michael Phelps, you know that name? Okay, see? 28 or 29 gold medals he has won over the last 3 Olympiads that he's been in, okay? I can't believe anybody will ever match that. But if we're talking about Michael Phelps' gold medals or Bethany Sands' gold medal, right? Do you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to leave them behind one day. All of it. All the gold medals they're going to leave behind. But there is a gold that you and I can take with us. There's a gold that we can bring home to our hearts and to our homes that we can take with us and that lasts for all eternity. And that's the gold that you and I find in the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here to study this morning, to take home, to bring home, and to make us realize once again, with Jesus in our hearts, we are the wealthiest people in the world. Okay? And we have something that everybody else in the world needs, all right? So I'd like to begin this morning with a prayer. And I wonder if they still teach this. Judy, do you still teach this? Where's Judy? There she is, okay. Do you still teach this little song, I pray you, dear Lord Jesus, to the kids? Oh, don't you see? I think I learned that in second grade when I went to a Christian day school, all right? Lo and behold, I also, over the time, have come to read a lot more about the man who wrote this song. He was an ELS man, a professor who taught at the ELS seminary in Mankato. And thanks to him, he translated it from Norwegian into English so that little Johnny Stern could learn this song back in second grade. We begin with this prayer. I pray you, dear Lord Jesus, my heart to keep and train, that I, your holy temple, from youth to age remain. Turn down my thoughts forever from worldly wisdom's lore. If I but learn to know you, I shall not want for more. We pray this in your name, O Lord. Amen. Okay. We begin way back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapters 1 and chapters 2, what was important to Adam and Eve? Okay. Take a look at Eve's wardrobe. How many pairs of shoes did she have? None. Okay, all right. How about how many cars did Adam have in his garage back then? None. How much did they have in their savings account and checking account back then? None. And yet, what was that garden called into which God placed our first parents? It was called paradise. Why? They had no clothes, they had no money, they had no cars, they had no toys. It was called paradise. Why? What made that paradise?
Who walked with them?
That's right. They walked and talked with God. Okay? They were in complete, perfect harmony with their Creator. That's what made paradise, paradise. What God wanted, Adam and Eve wanted. What Adam and Eve wanted, God wanted. Apart from all the things of the world. Then,
And you get to Genesis 3:1, this stinker came into the world, okay? And he switched all the price tags. He switched them around. That which God intended to be very precious and priceless, the devil then made to appear as cheap and chintzy. Now the emphasis began to be on not the Creator, but on created things, see? It was the clothes, it was the shoes, it was the cars, it was the money, all of that Satan holds before them as big. This is what's really important. Well, it isn't. It isn't, all right? When you look at your life, and this is how come your grade school is so precious, okay? When you look at your life, what's the only earthly blessing you can take with you into eternity? Your kids. That's it. Everything else that you call your own, and I call it, stays behind. When you realize that, you realize what a jewel you have here at St. Mark's. To have a Christian day school where your children and your grandchildren get to hear every day about the only thing that matters in life. The only thing. And that is their Savior. Okay? See? And thankfully that, Jesus straightens out our priorities at what's important, and we can bring home the gold of the gospel and have it here, right here and now. We can share it while we're here, and we can take it with us throughout all eternity. See, that reminded me of something, if I may. All right, I'd like to pass out two sheets. On this one, if you would just jot down your name, and if you want your phone number, fine and dandy, okay? And I'm not going to call you, I'm not going to do anything, okay? But if you'd like me to stop by, if you'd like to talk about all kinds of things that have to deal with stewardship, if you'd fill out one of those sheets, okay? So on this side, please sign your name, put your name and phone number or address if you want, okay? And on this sheet, if you'd like me to stop by while I'm here, I'd be happy to share with you more about one aspect of the Lord's work. World missions, home missions, ministerial education, whatever the case may be. Okay? Is that clear? As much? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Here's a good quote for us in materialistic-minded Americans to remember from Luther. Okay? He says, money is the least of God's gifts. Isn't it funny? Because we run around, our society runs around, for money and what money can buy. But Luther says money is the least of God's gifts because he even gives money to believers and unbelievers alike. However, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the treasures that God only gives to believers. That's it. Unbelievers do not have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They do not have the faith in the living Savior. They do not have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They don't have it. Because the only way God gives us these treasures are through the means of grace, the gospel, and word and sacrament. And here, I'm going to repeat those nine fruits of the Spirit that comes to us through the gospel. As I repeat them, ask yourself, how many of these have bearings on our relationships with others? It could be a spouse, it could be your children, it could be your grandchildren. How many of those fruits of the Spirit that God gives us through the gospel and word and sacrament have bearings on relationships with others? There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Of the nine, how many have bearings on our relationships this way? All of them. Man, just think of what the Spirit gives us for our marriage. Just think of what the Spirit gives us for our families. Just think of what the Spirit gives us for our church life, okay? See? My goodness, you will find these gifts no place else except in the gospel. This is the goal, people. Don't let the devil turn the price tags around on you. You and I have that which is the most precious in Christ Jesus. Just a couple other facts about the book of Ecclesiastes, okay? Just the word Ecclesiastes simply means the preacher or the teacher. And King Solomon was known as the preacher and the teacher of Israel, okay? And he was certainly king during the glory years of Israel. I mean, that must have been neat, okay? Silver was as, you know, nothing compared to the gravel. I mean, silver was as common as the gravel in the streets, guys. Okay, the economy must have been wonderful that when you had King Solomon. It was oftentimes thought that maybe Solomon gave the book of Ecclesiastes as an after-dinner speech, which he could, because it doesn't take too long to read it. You could read it in 40 minutes sitting, okay? And yet the theme of the book is unique. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind, all right? So picture Solomon at the University of Sacramento, okay, graduation day, standing before this, all the graduates, and telling them, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. They would never invite him to come back again. Never. See? Well, what's the point? Is Solomon just a curmudgeon? Is Solomon just lived a life and he is so negative, he's so pessimistic? Not at all. Not at all. Okay? Rather, when you can look at life in two ways. When you look at life under the sun, S-U-N, that's it, okay? When you look at life under the sun, you'll realize that it's pretty empty, pretty shallow, pretty meaningless. It doesn't have much meaning under the sun. So the book of Ecclesiastes helps us realize what an unbeliever is going through. Okay? That's what life is like to an unbeliever who doesn't know Jesus. But when you look at life under the S-O-N, under the Son of God, you realize how much meaning and purpose and direction that Jesus gives to someone. Here, using just a phrase from the Apostle Paul. Paul writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Right? One quick story. His name was Fred. He was a young guy, 28 years old. 28 years old. And Fred decided he wanted to commit suicide. So this is the way, his life wasn't worth living. This is the way he did it. It was right before New Year's, right? So Fred goes out and gets drunk, all right? And he got so drunk, and he threw himself in front of a car. But he was so drunk that when the car hit him, he bounced down the road. He was so limber from being intoxicated that it didn't kill him. So somebody tells me about Fred in the hospital. So I go to the psych ward and I meet Fred for the first time. And I ask him, "Fred, when do you want to get out of here?" And he said, "When they give me a reason for living." And I said, "They can't. They can't. Because the only one who makes life worth living and death worth dying is Jesus." Okay? When you're in a psych ward, you're in there for therapy for 6 weeks. So every week I go see Fred. And we began to talk a lot about spiritual things, okay? See? Finally, Fred was released. And I thought I'd never see him again because he lived 30 miles from where I was the pastor. And on a Saturday afternoon, Fred rides his bike up, just like Timothy. He rides his bike 30 miles, okay? And he comes to my house and he says, "You're right. The one who was missing in my life was my Savior." Okay? Fred went back to a Christian church in his own town, his hometown, where he found out about the love of God in Christ. Okay? You see, only two ways to look at life, under the S-U-N and under the S-O-N. And by the grace of God, Fred, like all of us, are able to look at life under the Son of God, with meaning and purpose. Okay, the Lord used Solomon, I'm about halfway down on the outline. The Lord used Solomon to give us three Old Testament books. Right? Let's see if we can name them and let's see if we can put them in their chronological order. What was the first book that God used Solomon to give us? Oh, I'm sorry. Middle one. Number two. First one. The Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, then Proverbs, and in his old age, it was the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay. Timothy shared with me his age today. How old, Timothy?
33.
Okay, all right. See, in the Old Testament times, you could not read the Song of Songs until you were 30. The rabbis would not let you read that book of the Bible. Whoa! It is that graphic. You want to put some you know, spruce up your marriage and your romantic life? Read the Song of Songs, and you're going to say, what is this doing in the Bible? See? Wow, is that graphic. Wow, is that intimate. It's a beautiful story between Solomon and his wife Abishai. That's what it's about. But even more so, lifted higher, it's a beautiful story about the bridegroom Jesus and his bride, you. And the intimacy of his love for you. Okay? Right? Just an awesome book of the Bible, see? Solomon wrote, okay? The book of Proverbs was written next, and Solomon wrote that book to his teenage kids. Okay? His teenagers, all right? And the book of Proverbs has been called the best guidebook to success that's ever been written, and rightly so, because it's one of those practical books of the Bible. And see if you know teenagers, do they still deal with bullying? Do they still deal with temptations to want to misuse liquor, drugs, and sex? Do teenagers still think they know so much? Okay, I gotta think of his name, Sam Clemens. Samuel Clemens, one time wrote, you know, when I was 14, I couldn't get over how foolish and stupid my parents were. But by the time they turned 16, I couldn't get over how much they learned. Okay? All right. See? Isn't that, remember that when you were a teenager? You just thought you knew it all. See? Do those things still plague? Peer pressure? Are those still prevalent today? All of that and more is contained in the book of Proverbs to help our teenagers and young adults get through those high school and college years, okay? And the last book that Solomon gave us was the book of Ecclesiastes. Here's an old man. And as an old man, he's looking back over his life. And there were a lot of things that Solomon accomplished in his life. And yet, by the time Solomon reached that age, he realized that there was only one who would sustain him in life and through life and in death and through death. And that was the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are grateful that Solomon did repent before he left this world and turned back to his Lord and Savior. I think I have a couple of questions here. Okay. Oh, yeah. Who or what turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord? If you were to look up 1 Kings. Okay, it was his wives. Okay, see? It was his wives. Anybody know how many wives Solomon had? 700. How many concubines? 300. Okay? And could you believe that Solomon even built churches for his unbelieving wives? Okay? Baal, Ishtoreth were some of the more popular false gods. Okay? And they're still popular today. You know who Ishtoreth is? She's popular today. Do you know anybody who's living together before marriage? Do you know anybody who's having an affair outside of marriage or an unscriptural divorce? Are you aware of the gay and the lesbian and the transgenders? Okay. Those people who are caught in those sins are worshiping a false god. And that was Ashtoreth, okay, back in the Old Testament times. And how sad it was that Solomon's heart drifted away from the Lord and he built churches for Baal and Ashtoreth, right? One of the more common gods in today, Baal is still worshipped today. In fact, I'll guarantee you that tonight if you watch your weather channel, you'll hear about Baal. You'll hear about Baal tonight on the weather channel. Yeah, you will. Okay, you know how? All right? You ever hear Mother Nature? Mother Nature. That's Baal. See? There is no such thing as Mother Nature. Who is the one who controls the clouds and sends the rain and causes the things to grow? Who is that? It is the Lord God, you see? And yet every night on the weather in Phoenix, okay, we hear what Mother Nature did. That's a false god. That God doesn't exist. And he built, Solomon built churches to Baal. We live in the heart of Mormon country. Solomon built churches to the false god of Joseph Smith. We live Jehovah's Witnesses, false gods. Solomon's wives, many of them, turned his heart away from the Lord God. And yet, before it comes to the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon repented of those sins and turned back to the Lord God. So can we expect to see Solomon in heaven? I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Solomon in heaven. Okay. It's something else, okay? Let's go through life real quick and so that we can recognize the pet peeve sins along life's way. If we recognize these sins, that we can forearm ourselves with God's promises to fight against these sins, okay? So let's go back. Let's go from ages 2 to 12. What do you think the pet peeve sin is that you and I wrestle with and that children wrestle with today? Yeah, and what do we like to do as little ones?
Say no.
Yeah, we love to talk back. Oh, we love to talk back. That comes really easy to us, okay, in that age bracket. And thankfully you had a mom and dad who helped you, okay, who helped you and who corrected you when you wanted to talk back to them, okay? Because talking back, frankly, means I know more than you. And a two-year-old does not know more than a mom or a dad. A 12-year-old doesn't know more than a mom or dad, see? But that's the pet peeve sin. Then we get to 13 to 35. What sins do we wrestle with during that age bracket? This is all in...
Well, if they're 13, they're lying.
Oh, lying's good. Lying's good. Isn't it the misuse of liquor and drugs and the misuse of sex, okay? You see, that's when they're really... I don't know, yes, we're growing and our bodies are changing, but there's always that temptation. You know, pornography affects so many in that age group, okay? Now, that's all connected. These are the sins that Satan wants to tempt us with. And I know I can't stand against Satan on my own, but I do marvel. You know, he just keeps on repackaging the same lies over and over again, okay? See, for example, the person who's living with someone they aren't married to, here's Satan's lie. See? If we try this out first, if we live together, okay, then we'll know if it's going to work. It does just the opposite. If you live together without any commitment, it means that you're willing to live with anybody. See, it doesn't build trust. It builds distrust, see? So I marvel, and I don't want to call the devil dumb, because he's a lot sharper than I am, but he just repackages all those temptations and all those lies, and we're suckers for them, okay? But thankfully, we got God's word, okay? And when I was teaching young people, here's a quick example, okay? Let's go to Mrs. Potiphar, okay? The Bible tells us Joseph was one good-looking man. He was just, you know, whatever good looking is in your eyes, gals, Joseph was one good looking man. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put Mrs. Potiphar? 1 not being very pretty, but 10 being a knockout. Where would you put her? I'd put her at a 12. Okay, yeah, I'd put her at a 12. She was no doubt good looking, she smelled good. You know, she was attractive. Almost, she was a 12. Why on earth then would this young man, when she makes the advances, why would he keep his track shoes on? Don't you think he wanted to mess around with Mrs. Potiphar? Well, sure he did. That's part of his nature. See, as a young man, what would cause him to say, oh no? He knew his Savior. That was it. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that's the only thing that kept Joseph from committing adultery with Mrs. Potiphar. And to this day, it's going to be the only thing that keeps young Christians away from falling into that sin, that they know their Savior. And when that temptation comes, that their faith would be strong enough to be able to say no to that. Say, all right? Okay, let's go on through life. 36 to 55.
Money.
Yeah.
You've got to make enough money so you can
pay. Right, so it's success. It's success at all costs, okay? And this is where marriages really have a hard time sometimes, okay? Because both the husband and the wife are so involved in their careers, and they're going their separate ways, okay, because they want to be successful in the eyes of their fellow man. Say, that's a rough one. Say, right? Okay, how about this then? 56 to the end of life, at peace in.
Keeping what you've got.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Keeping what you've got.
Well, okay, you think, read it. I it's kind of, you know, at this time in my life, we're getting rid of stuff.
Security.
Yeah. And what's the opposite of security, Pastor? It's worrying. How often, as a pastor, you visit the elderly people, and one of the things that plagues them is the worry. What happens if I fall and break my hand? What happens if my Social Security check goes down? It's worry. We worry, okay? It plagues us. And worry is that sin that robs us of our faith and the promises that God gives us, okay? Here's one quick note, all right? Anybody want to guess how many times your Lord says to you, and he said this through the waters of baptism to you, okay? But how many times in his word will you find Jesus saying to you, do not be afraid, do not fear? Who wants to guess at the numerical number of times you'll find that in God's revealed word? 365 times. 300. Okay, now how many days are there in a year? Ha! One time for every day, for every year, for as long as you live. Whether you're 99 or 9 years old, it does not matter. The Lord your God has said, I will be with you. There is nothing you have to fear. There's nothing you have to be afraid about. Say, you know? So, you know, if we're aware of, as we go through life, the pet peeve sins that we can forearm ourselves with the promises that God gives us, you know, in his word. Okay, real quick then towards the bottom. If you have time, read through the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon will take you down all these streets, all these avenues, okay? He'll take you down Pleasure Avenue, Dollarville Boulevard, Stuff Street, University Drive, Career Alley, Beauty Parkway. I'll take you down them all, right? And you know what? Everyone he takes you down comes to a dead end. It comes to a dead end. See? Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Now, is Solomon being a pessimist, a curmudgeon, a downer? Not at all. What he is sharing with us is what you and I have in Christ Jesus. Using the words of our Savior in John chapter 10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And that starts with our personal life. It includes our married life. It includes our family life. And it includes our eternal life. I say that because in Christ, you and I will find everything we need for time and for eternity. That's a brief summary of Ecclesiastes. It's a great book. Now, if you'd be so kind as to flip over. The Lord has put us here. He has brought us together for a purpose. And we serve him with our time, our talents, and treasures. Okay? And I thank you for the work that you do here at St. Mark's, at nourishing the souls, first of all, and at reaching out to the people, the lost souls in your community. That is wonderful, okay? Together, our work goes beyond St. Mark's because our Lord has commissioned his people to go into all the world. And what you can't do individually, we can do together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the workhorse for our joint efforts, okay, gospel work, is called a Congregational Mission Offering, all right? CMO for short. This Congregational Mission Offerings is 3/4 of the gospel work that we do together, okay? The other quarter comes from what's called individual mission offerings, all right? Individuals like yourself and other congregations, they'll send in a special gift to home missions or world missions or to a college or to the orphanages that we have, okay? See? So if you take the CMO and put it together with the IMO, all right, the total budget for our together work is $29.4 million, all right? I can't relate to $1 million. I've never made $1 million. I don't know what that's like. I can't relate to hundreds of thousands of dollars because I've never made that either. I can't relate to $10,000, but I can relate to $1,000, and I can relate to $1. And I think you can too. And when you give a gift to your Lord, and I don't know how your envelopes, if it says missions, I don't know if it does or not, okay? But when you give a gift that goes beyond St. Mark's, I want you to know how that dollar is being used. And you can tell me if you think it's being used wisely, or you can tell me if you think we need to work harder on using our dollars to get the gospel out. But for every dollar that you give that goes outside of St. Mark's, okay, the first 28 cents of that dollar is used for ministerial education so that we can train young men and women to become pastors and teachers, okay? And we own, as a church body, we own and operate 4 training schools. We have 2 prep schools. One is where Judy Thrams went to school, and that was in Watertown, Wisconsin. It's called Luther Prep now, okay? And the other, where I think there was a water strut, did David go? Michigan Lutheran Seminary, okay? Yeah, so David went, yeah. Michigan Lutheran Seminary in Saginaw, Michigan, okay? Those are the 2 training schools, high school level, that we have. And in the Wells, hey, this is really silly, okay? But in the Wells, what we like to pit our training schools against the area Lutheran high schools, okay? Well, that's ridiculous, people. That is ridiculous. Say, why? Because we need our training schools. We need our area Lutheran high schools. We need our public schools. And we even need our homeschool kids if we're going to have enough pastors and teachers, okay, for the next generation. See, so in the Wells, let's not pit area Lutheran high schools against the training schools, because both are important. We do get most of our young men and women for ministry from our training schools. But California Lutheran High School sends us a lot up to New Ulm as well. See? And the other 23 area Lutheran high schools, they're important. They're important, okay? After our 2 training schools, our college is in Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. And then if you go beyond that, our seminary is in north of Milwaukee in a town called Mequon, Wisconsin. Okay, and that's usually a 4-year stint when you're at the seminary. Okay, so 28 cents of your dollar goes so that we can maintain these 4 schools so that we can train young men and women for ministry. The next 20 cents of your dollar goes to world missions. And right now, we are conducting gospel work in 23 foreign lands. Do you know where the best fishing is right now for us in the foreign field? What areas in the world is the Lord richly blessing us numerically? Africa is still a biggie, okay? If we could give 10, 20, 30 more pastors and teachers to Africa, they would take them. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the manpower. I spoke with one of our missionaries, Mark. Krieger. Mark Krieger. Okay, who was over in Africa for many years. And I asked him, Mark, on any given Sunday, what percentage of your people showed up for church? And he said, 110%. You know what the average is in the Wells and the stateside? 42. If you guys have 42%, you're doing pretty good. Say, right? 110%. And you know what? They don't have cars to get to church. There are no trains. They either walk or take their bike. They have such a hunger to learn about their Savior. Africa, we're being richly blessed. Any other countries?
Eastern Europe.
Okay, Eastern Europe is China. Okay, China is one too. China, once again, if we could have more teachers and pastors to give them, they would take them. But the work in China is being richly blessed. And the other country where we're receiving many, India. India, okay. One of my colleagues was over in India a year and a half ago on Sunday morning, and he had 53 baptisms one Sunday. 53 baptisms. In India, we own and operate 7 orphanages. How many of you knew that? Say, 7 orphanages that are owned and operated by us so that we can reach out to these children and every day they can hear about their Savior, okay? And many of them have been baptized, okay? See? A wonderful, wonderful opportunity. But in the world mission, that is, those are the three areas. Pakistan and others are really is good too. And just recently, have you received this Forward in Christ edition yet? It's entitled Every Neighbor, Every Nation. It's a special edition on the world missions and the home missions that we are establishing, okay? And the goal of this is to try to encourage our people, individuals, not congregations, but individuals to give, in order that we can use your gifts to reach out to people that have asked us to help them in world missions as well as in home missions. And on the inset of this, you'll find a map of the world. If you go to the western side of Africa, you'll come to a country called Liberia. The church in Liberia, 60,000 people, have asked us if we would train their men and women for ministry. Why? Because they are tired of the liberalism which is being taught in that part of Africa. What an opportunity the Lord has placed before us, okay? And so gifts that are given to new mission initiatives will go to the requests. Right now, our seminary has 30 requests to help in all areas of ministry. There are no funds. There are no funds in the budget to help these individuals in these countries. So that's what that's all about, and home missions is the same way. Okay, going back to the dollar, 20 cents for world missions, 20 cents for home missions as well, okay? And Jeanette, oh, how much time? Oh, 15 minutes, I got you. Okay, good. Okay, 20 cents for home missions. Now, let's do a little church history. Those of us who were alive back in 1961, what happened in church history? 1961 was a biggie that happened in our church. Anybody want to recall what took place? We broke with our big sister, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and they were our big sister for many, many years, over 100 years. We leaned on her, we depended upon her. When we broke because of doctrinal reasons, what was supposed to happen to the wells? It was to shrivel up and blow away like dry leaves. Since 1961, through our home missions, we have established over 600 congregations in the United States. Do you know how many congregations we have right now? 1,272. In other words, the Lord's grace enabled us to almost double the size of our congregations since 1961 through our home mission efforts, okay? And right now, there are 120 congregations in one form or another that receive support through our mission offerings throughout the United States. Okay. 28 cents for ministerial ed, 20 cents for world mission, 20 cents for home missions. 16 cents comes right back here to St. Mark's. It's like a boomerang. When you give a dollar, it comes back. 16 cents of it comes back to you. How so? In congregational support. So that you would have evangelism materials, that you would have stewardship materials, that you would have Bible classes, and you would have sometimes sermons are tools that are given to our pastors, okay? But it comes back so that you can carry on the work here that the Lord has given you to do. Right? 11 cents goes for administration, goes back to Milwaukee, okay? So that we could have administrators and support staff. It's interesting to me that our English word administrator, okay, comes from a Greek word which stands for helmsman, okay? Imagine you're sailing out of San Francisco Bay on a cruise, all right? And you get out into the Pacific Ocean and there's nobody at the helm, all right? And that cruise ship just wavers, going there, everywhere, see? You realize how important a helmsman is. See, our administrators for ministerial ed, our administrators for world missions, are really helmsmen. They are the ones that help us steer the ship so that we can accomplish as much as we can for the glory of God and for the good of His kingdom. All right? That's where 11 cents goes. All right? And then the last nickel in the dollar, it goes for debt retirement. And here at St. Mark's this past year, did you hear much about the One in Christ offering? Did you? Good. Okay. The One in Christ offering, special offering, was intended to get rid of our Simmons debt once and for all. $4.7 million. Say goodbye. Okay? Say. And getting rid of that debt, it would enable $1.4 million to go to other areas of ministry such as world missions and home missions, okay? Well, I'm here to say thanks to you once again that by the end of this calendar year, that debt of $4.7 million will be gone. 260,000 came from individuals.
From where?
Individuals. And congregations, okay, 1.6 million came from stabilization fund, and gifts continue to come in, okay, and that by the end of this calendar year, I think probably through the stabilization fund, that it will be eliminated. So we thank God for that. We really do. So, okay, how are we doing? Okay, let's keep on going down. Unless you have any questions on your dollar, and do you think your dollar is well spent? Do you think you get a good bang for your buck? I think we do. You know, here again in the wells. Don't use the word pride. Oh boy, don't use the word pride. That's sinful. Okay, there is selfish, sinful pride, stubborn pride. That's wrong, okay? But you know, there's something that you can be very proud of. You can be thankfully proud that you belong to a church, St. Mark's, that cares about God's Word, the truths of God's Word. Be thankfully proud about that. Be thankfully proud that you do belong to a church who does care about people in this area, and you want to reach out to them. Be thankfully proud that you belong to a church that still cares about the truth of God's Word, not adding, not taking away from it. And be thankfully proud that you belong to a church body that wants to share the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay? See? And when you and I are thankfully proud, it doesn't pat yourself on the back. It looks up. You look up to your Lord and Savior and give Him all the glory and all the thanks. See? And in case you're wondering, okay, here. Just, you know, we take this for granted. Where does our English word thanks come from? Anybody know? How do we get the word thanks in English? Where does it come from? Our English word thanks comes from the word think. Think. You will never say thanks unless you first think and realize what a gift is. And the psalmist put it this way in Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and..."
Forget.
Yeah, forget what?
Forget not.
Forget not. Think about it. Think about the blessings he gives you day by day. See? And he starts off with the biggest ones about the Lord's love and compassion. And the list is endless. See? Luther put it this way. Thanks is the only thing we can give God because everything else is already his. And you'll never guess what Luther was talking about when he said that. He was talking about the hours and the minutes and the seconds that God gives to you and to me every day. Remember to thank him. And then all the other blessings of body and soul that he so freely and fully gives to us. Thanks is the only thing we can give God because everything else is already his. All right, a couple other things quick. let's see. You are aware that if Pastor John O'Tray was still here, I think John will serve on the new hymnal committee, a new hymnal, the Lord willing, will be coming out in 2021, okay? The prison ministry, are you aware that we have the largest prison ministry of any denomination, Christian denomination in the United States? The last time I was through here, I did take time to go to the museum at Folsom Prison, okay? See? The curator at Folsom Prison was a Missouri City Lutheran. And so I asked her, how many chaplains come here during the course of a week? And she said, I really don't know. And she was kind of putting me down for being a Wells Lutheran Christian, okay? You know, oh my, she said, you must really, you know, you guys are the strict ones, you're the conservative ones and all of this stuff. I said, okay, good, I'll take that from you. I said, but did you know that we send more Bibles and more Bible classes and we have more lay people and called workers going into prisons and jails than any other Christian denomination in the United States, even the Catholics. She couldn't say a word. She couldn't say a word, okay? See, our prison ministry is very wonderful ministry. If Pastor Waterstrat had a chance when he was here to go out to Folsom Prison, prison ministry is very rewarding. Because you don't have to convince the men and the women behind there that they've done something wrong. I mean, but to be able to walk into a prison or into a jail with a God so great and so big that he is willing to even forgive the heinous and hideous crimes that that individual has committed, that's pretty special. That's pretty special, okay, to do that, right? I'd like to talk to you about Christian Aid and Relief. Very briefly, if you're familiar, are you familiar with this? All right. This is how this works. When you see disaster on TV, any place in the world, whether it's floodings or hurricanes or tornadoes or disasters of any kind, and you want to help those individuals, you can. You can use and send a gift to Christian Aid and Relief. And just earmark it where you want it to go, all right? And of 92 cents of every dollar that we give goes to the victims. The other 8 cents on the dollar is used for administration purposes, okay? See? But sometimes, I mean, your heart goes out to those people down in Baton Rouge. I don't know if you guys ever experienced a flood, but stop to think of all that water coming up and all the treasures, all the memories, your house just destroyed, see, because of flood waters. And yet, look at your house. We've always had a roof over our heads. We've always had food. We've always had clothing. Right? How can you not, in Christian love, want to help those people if you can? See? And so, like I say, whenever you see something, a couple of years ago, there was a hurricane in the Philippines, all right? And our people responded to that, all right? But we don't have churches in the Philippines. We don't have any church there. We like to work through our churches if possible. And so the Christian Aid and Relief Committee sent a pretty sizable gift to the Red Cross, all right? And the Red Cross promised us that they will not take a percentage out They'll use whatever is given to them to reach the people who are in need. Red Cross and CARE are good humanitarian purposes. They are. They really are. But you need to realize they take out a pretty good chunk for administration. I think Red Cross is probably about 52%. CARE is like 55%. Okay, they're good organizations, all right? But most of your dollar isn't going to the victim. It's going to administration purposes, okay? So if you ever want to help, and here's the other way this helps, okay? Let's say that Pastor and Mrs. Weierstrahl are going through a tough time, or any members of St. Mark's. I'm just picking him as a member now of St. Mark's. Let's say you're going through a tough time. It could be medical bills. It could be just a bunch of things, maybe a fire or whatever the case may be. Pastor Schmidt, the only thing you have to do is call. His name is Mark Vance. And say, Mark, is there any money is available to help the Weierstrahls? And Mark Vance would say, oh, yeah. I'll send you about $2,000 tonight, all right? And then they like to have congregations try to match that if they can, okay? Say, all right? But it's there for you. It's there for you. And right before I left Flagstaff, there was a husband and wife who went through a tough time, and I called Mark Vance, and I said, Mark, can you send us some money to help this couple? And he sent $2,000, and we were able at the congregation to come up with $4,000, and I walked into the hospital room with a check for $6,000. And I said, this isn't just from us. This is from your brothers and sisters throughout the wells. Okay. And of course, when you give a guy a check for $6,000, what's going to be the response? Most guys. I got this stubborn sauerkraut blood. Yeah, I got this stubborn sauerkraut blood in my veins. Okay, I can take care of my family. I can take care of my bills. See, all right, that's the way we operate. See, but after a while, I said, and this isn't from me to you. This comes from your Heavenly Father through us to you, and to use it in ways to help you with your medical bills. Okay, and then thanks to his wife. And women are a lot more tender than men. He graciously took the gift. So, okay, but there's this, and if you want any flyers, I brought a bunch of flyers along for Christian Aid and Relief as well. Okay, and it is time. A couple other things I just want to mention, and we'll wrap it up with the prayer together, okay? If you want help in your estate planning or wills awareness, okay, there's information in the folder for you. Take it home, peruse it. There's some useful things. My wife and I just updated our will, and we chose a Christian preamble from the booklet, okay? It was just a neat way, because in life I want you to know I'm a Christian, but in death I want you also to know what I believed as a Christian, see? So there are about 6 examples in that booklet there. And if you'd like someone to come and help you, okay, it doesn't cost you anything, okay? My counterpart on the deferred side of things is Rich Kogler. And he would be happy the next time he's out in Sacramento to come and visit with you and to help you work through whatever estate that the Lord has given to you, okay? I know, it's time. Thank you. And the Lord be with you and keep you. And if we don't meet again on this side of eternity, we'll see you in heaven. Not because you and I lived a good life, but because we haven't, but all because of what our Savior has done for us. So will you join me in our closing prayer? It's on the bottom of the outline. We pray. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.